expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Here we go. Another episode of the Mike Radio Show here at www.mikebroadcastddtv.com. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing and I'm glad in it. One more time. Oh boy, I tell you, we have such a great show on today. We're just looking forward to what God is doing. Not only do we welcome those in the Mike Radio Show, also welcome to those that Mike Live. Yes. Hello, Keisha Lynch, M318 is M for you. As you know, we're coming to the crunch time. I'm finishing up on my book, 177 Laws of Might. If you're not ordered, pre-order my copy of my book. You need to do so this week. This week you need to do it. You need to get it ordered by today, Sunday, Monday. I need as much help as possible. Still looking forward to 150 of you at least to pre-order my book for only $25. Okay, pre-order, go to my Cash App and you'll see it's on my page. Or you can also text me at 973-861-9612. 973-861-9612. As we get ready for the release of my book, 177 Laws of Might, of course, is a beautiful book. You're going to love it, all right? And this book, of course, talks a little bit about Flight 1549, the Super Bowl, Saints versus the Colts 2010, the capture of Osama bin Laden, 100-plus year anniversary of the Titanic, and many other things. And this is a book you want to have on your bookshelf. It is not a religious book. It's a book of truths that you'll be able to live by regardless of your religion, but it's going to impact you to become what I call better leaders for our nation. And so it's a good book to have. Looking forward to selling this book. So please support Pastor McDuffie at 973-861-9612. You can text me and I can come pick the money up and we'll set that order aside. I am going to be autographing the first 177 books, and hopefully the first 177 that purchase my book, I'll put your name inside of my book, so when it goes out throughout the world, you get credit for being part of getting this book out. And it's going to be a great book. I think it's going to be more than one volume of it, though, because there's so many laws. I had to cut it down to 177, so I had to do more than one book. So don't miss it. It's going to be so great. Today, I want to do a little teaching from the point of the kingdom, enter into his rest. And I started a little bit of this on my SITU class. And when I started to take this thing apart, it really started to unfold before me. And I began to really understand what's wrong with the message of our type of Christianity today that does not bring the impact to the nation like we are supposed to. And I'm going to continue to take it apart and continue to also point back to my book, but also show you from a biblical point of view what we're supposed to do as quote-unquote Christians, whatever that is. But I want to really teach you about the kingdom advancement of a kingdom government that we're supposed to be walking in as the saints of God, that's supposed to transform our community and transform our lives. God bless you, Ms. Clark. God bless you, Keisha Lynch. So those that love me, we need you to download my Cash App. All right, and go, and let's continue to pray for Pastor Mike. Support me and lift me up in your prayers. I want to show you something, and I'm probably going to connect it back to some of my teaching today. I'm going to teach you more in a sense of people who are hearing this and seeing this for the very first time, and really try to show you something that I believe that we've missed in the body of Christ. I want to uplift it more and more to really let you understand this thing about saying you're saved and love the Lord and you belong to the body of Christ, and really give you a different perspective of, I think, we've been taught. And a part of my job as a prophet is to radically give you things that people don't want to look at. They don't want to talk about it. They're trying to sweep it under the rug. And this is why I believe we have not done a great job in transforming our communities, because I don't think we understand the power of what we've been given. Just to give you a quick synopsis and then try to compare the two quickly, because there's a lot to cover in this little bit of hour. God's people in the Old Testament were under the bondage of the Egyptians, and due to a spirit of slavery and the law of sin, there was a judgment placed against God's people, and they went into slavery and bondage for over 430 years. And then as Israel cried out to God, when I talk about Israel, I'm talking about the Israel that's birthed by the blood that's connected to Abraham, the physical Israel, cried out to God. And then God raised up a baby named Moses, Moshe in the Hebrew language. And Moshe, of course, was raised up in the Egyptian household. He ends up murdering someone. He runs out, goes in the wilderness for about 40 years. God deals with him. God gives him an encounter. And then God tells him why he exists. He said, you exist for the mere truth of this. You are being raised up to go back to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, which are your people, Moses, and we're going to rescue the people, my people, out from the spirit of slavery and bondage and bring them into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and they will be my chosen people. They'll be my peculiar people. They'll be a people. They'll be a nation of kings and priests unto me, and that's how I'm going to use them. And so the whole reason of Moses' existence is really to go rescue the seed, bring them out of the land of Egypt, and bring them into Canaan. So once you can come into Canaan, that is symbolically of a place of rest. There is where you're supposed to walk in the promises that God wants to bring you to. As a matter of fact, and it's funny how we overlook and we read over the scriptures over and over, but if you will look at this famous scripture, I think that's Exodus chapter, I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 19. Okay, I don't want to backtrack too much, but about 90 days after they came out of Egypt, God had already performed so many mighty works, so many miracles that 3 million Jews knew that God was real. And then he brings them to this place called Mount Sinai, and he's going to tell them what is the promise. All right, what is the promise? Now, I'm talking about the Canaan promise. And Canaan promise is what God has promised you and bring you into if you dare believe what God says. But believing in what God says is different in our culture versus that culture of that time. See, when you say you believe God in the culture of that time, it meant that your feet and your heart and your actions lined up to your believing. See, in our nation, that we can say we believe and our actions don't align. And that's not what God means. When God says you hear my word or you believe my word or you trust my word, that simply means your life, your heart, and your words line up to what I promise you. And when your heart, your life, your words line up to what I'm saying and you stay in trust with me, then you enter into my rest and you will achieve the promises. But achieving those promises, going after those promises, does not mean the absence of testings and trials and temptation and turmoil and all types of what I call turmoil. That means that in the midst of that, you can still achieve my promises, but I don't give you an excuse to back up or give up because of it. That means in spite of all the thing around me, I still possess those promises because God has promised me that. Now, let me tell you, he gives them the promise. And this is the place called the place of promise, the place of Canaan, the place of chasing after what's yours. And God also calls it a word called rest. Now, you wouldn't think the term to enter into Canaan is the same thing as entering into the rest. Now, when you look at this whole thing, let me just deal with this real quick. When you ask people now, you know, when is the Sabbath day? You know, Christians will fight over the day of the week. See, we the only religious group that will fight over religious stuff that makes no sense. I mean, it's not even a weightier matter. We got denominations created over not you have church services on Sunday versus Saturday. Like God don't own all the days of the week. We fuss over days of the week, right? It's funny, we will fuss over. You know, we do, then we'll fuss over whether you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost or baptize in Jesus' name. And then we end up fussing over, should there be women preachers or should a woman be a pastor or should a woman be an apostle? We're always off on some left-hand issue that got nothing to do with anything. And it's not even that important, but we find ourselves fighting over every little issue. But here is the key thing. To enter into the Sabbath, because in the New Testament thinking, Sabbath is not really a day out the week. It is a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath. Now, when you spell Sabbath in our language, in our English word, it is spelled S-A-B-B-A-T-H. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 letters. All right. 7 equals perfection or complete. All right. And if you look at Sabbath, bath is B-A-T-H, which stands for water. Now, if I'm going to take a bath, I'm going to lay down in the water. I'm going to lay my head back and I'm going to soak because I believe that I went through a nice day. I'm going to get clean and get ready for bed and relaxation. So I'm going to sit down, relax in my water. And I'm going to take a bath, Sabbath. That means I feel something has been completed. I'm going to rest in it. I'm going to lay in it because this is my promise. All right. Now, when you look at the term Sabbath in our American society, we're fighting whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday. Whole denominations have been built because of this whole day about the Sabbath. And I really believe what Christ was communicating is for 6 days God worked. On the seventh day in the book of Genesis, he completed his assignment. He was finished. He'd done everything he needed to do, and he set something in motion, which means that when God promised you a Sabbath, when God promised you Canaan, he says, I've already made the way for you, but in order for you to get this, you have to align with me. I need your mouth, your mind, your heart to come into agreement, and as you come into agreement, I bring you into every promise I have for you. I want you to rest in that. I want you to, I completed it. This is a done deal. All I need you to do is to align with it. So your heart, your mind, your actions are to align with it. So to hear God or to enter into rest is another term for being obedient to God. Hello, Michael Jeffries, President Chris, God bless you. Maria Maria, all my partners, this image for you, all right? Keisha, this image for you. Thank you for my support. And so when I read to you Exodus chapter 19, this first few verses is when God is saying to them, now listen, I already told Moses before, I freed you so you can leave from slavery and become a nation unto yourself. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you through a journey. I'm going to take you to a place that's flowing with milk and honey. And simply mean, I'm bringing you to a place where there are already resources. I'm going to give you cities you didn't build. I'm going to give you stuff you couldn't buy. I'm going to chase out anyone on that property. They built it up for themselves, but I will scatter them out the way and turn their stuff over to you. This is a type and shadow of a Canaan or enter into rest or entering into the seventh day, enter into the Sabbath day, enter into Christ. But there is a way to enter in. There's a way that God wants you to enter. And when God brings you into the rest or into the Sabbath, he brings you into it in the midst of tests, trials, and tribulation. What we like to do is serve God in the absence of it. What God wants you to do is claim the kingdom in the midst of the test, trial, and tribulation. How well you believe while the test is there? Can you stay obedient when the temptation is there? Can you still do what I say when you don't feel like doing it? See, that's where the whole thing calls enter into the rest of God. Stop struggling. Stop trying to be good enough to get God to do something. Christ already completed everything for you, so let's leave the dead works alone, and let's take our heart and our mouth and agree with what God says, and then let our feet follow. All right? Now, I'm going to show you this, and this is deep, but you got to get this. And if you really get a hold of this, then church is no longer a drudgery. You're not trying to stay out of hell with gasoline draws on. And every time you mess up, you think you're going to hell. You know, I know for who got saved every Sunday, they got saved 365 Sundays. You know, every Sunday they keep getting saved because they messed up last week. They messed up the last day and don't understand the true meaning of the term his rest. Enter into his rest. Enter into the completed work of Christ, all right? Because in the Old Testament tabernacle system, right up to when Christ came, they had a certain system where supposedly God was living inside of a building, and then the Jews were supposed to bring a sacrifice to the temple, which is the Temple Mount, and then the priests would check out the sacrifice, see if it's clean or unclean or qualified, and then give it to the high priest, and the high priest would go up and sacrifice before the Lord in the Holy of Holies, and it's supposed your sins are clean. And so the focus became, I got to get a sacrifice. I got to find a lamb, a bull, a goat, a dove. I got to find one that's just right. Got to be clean. And that system was only temporary as it pointed to the fulfillment of Christ, who will become the lamb that takes away all the sins of the world. And so there were people that rejected Christ's system and stayed with the old system. And it can, and with the word of the kingdom was, listen, that system no longer works. That one's coming to an end. The new system in town is the kingdom of God system through Christ Jesus. He died once and all for your sins. Now you can enter into that completed work. Take up your royal priesthood. You are kings and queens under God. Now go into the earth and rule and reign now into eternity. Rule and reign from your earthly life right into eternity. See, and this is the perspective and the mentality that's not being taught, at least in my circle that I've been around for 38 years of ministry, that's taught. What we've been taught is a take me away, fly me away. It won't get any better until Christ comes later. You know, the streets will stay like this until Christ comes later. You know, we don't care what happens because it's going to get worse. It's going to get bad. And right before the whole earth blows up, Christ's going to come back and rescue us from this mean old world. That's all we say. Okay, going to rescue. Where are you taking us? Because the Bible says, according to the Revelation, where you look at it, the city of Jerusalem leaves heaven and comes on the earth. So where are you going? All right. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The meek shall inherit the earth. So why are we always running from something that's been given to us? It's amazing to me how church folk will run from stuff that's been given to us. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. And meek means that person with control strength. You ever find out the person you don't want to mess with, all those quiet people? Anyone who loud and talk all the time, no threat. It's those quiet folk you better watch out for. And someone that's who understands the power of martial arts and fighting. Don't go around letting folks, I can beat you up. I got a black belt. I got a super belt in jiu-jitsu. When you talk like that, folks know you just be talking just smack. But it's that quiet one, that one you don't know that know his stuff. That's the one that moves in silence. I heard a young lady, I won't say her name because maybe she not want me to, but she said, sometimes we need to move in silence so your player haters don't know what you're doing. Or when God raised you up, they kind of figure out how God has raised you up because you're not on social media screaming out everything that you're doing. To move in silence is someone that understands their promise that's been given them in Christ, and they stick with the system that God leads them, and God raises them up in spite of political affiliations, in spite of who the president, who the governor, who the city council, who the freeholder, you know, racism. They don't like me. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too wide. I'm too little. Let me tell you something. I know all those opposition. They're nothing but temptations and trials and testings. But the kingdom of Christ Jesus swallows up them all. So the question is, how persuaded are you to keep trusting in Christ while the kingdom unfolds before you? That's the key. And I'm going to show you something. God bless you, Yaya. I'm going to show you something in Exodus 19. And this was the prophetic word that's going to be confirmed in the ears of the hearers of the Jews that came out of slavery after 400 years, went 90 days into the wilderness. And now Moses is going to make a public inauguration of who they are going to become. God bless you, Pastor Sharon. This MS for you. Glory be to God. And read out the Hebrew, Greek translation. So it'll be some extra words, but I want to give you the best meaning possible. In Exodus 19, it says, in the third month, when the children, the sons of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. All right. For they were departed, pulled stakes for Rephidim, and they were come to the desert, the wilderness of Sinai. And had pitched or encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel, Yisrael, camped before the mountain. Mount means mountain. And Moses went up, watch this, Moshe ascended into God, Elohim. And the Lord Yahweh called unto Moses out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say to the house of Israel. Notice, you will say to the house of Israel. Keep in mind, in the Old Testament, all right, the house is almost like a physical type of building. But in the New Testament, the body of Christ becomes the house of Israel. So when you call in the name of the Lord, Joshua and Pastor Sharon and Sister President Crystal, we become the house of the Lord. As Pastor Kyle Butler said in the Old Testament, let us go into the house of the Lord. After Christ and the resurrection and the kingdom has come, we become the house of the Lord. Remember this? Old Testament is New Testament concealed. New Testament is Old Testament revealed. All right, so keep on. Now, when I'm showing you something, you got to get this, because you can never understand entering into his rest in this kingdom till you understand what's going on here. Okay, verse 3 again. And Moses went up, which is Moshe, ascended into God, Elohim, and the Lord Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children, the sons of Israel, you have seen what I did, how I worked unto the Egyptians, and how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Let me give you the Michael McDuffie translation. And this is the Michael McDuffie paraphrase translation. Yo, brothers and sisters, you saw how I whipped everybody's behind and I put you on the back of the bald eagle, and I brought you to myself. You saw me split the Red Sea. You saw me tear down Pharaoh's kingdom, and I tore up the whole economic system. I made you the union. Moses, you the union rep, and Aaron, you the shop stewardess. And I bought out a whole economic system. I bought y'all out. You know I'm the bomb diggity. You know I'm lit. I've shown myself to you. You know I'm the truth. So now I brought you unto myself. Now I'm going to show you how to enter into rest. I'm going to show you what I require of you to appropriate the promises, to confirm what I want to do with you. Now I've rested. I've done some stuff. But now I need you to align your heart, your mind, and your action with what I'm saying. Notice how I said all that. I want you to get this. Hello, Corey. All right. Now watch this. And how I bared you on eagle's wing, and now I brought you unto myself. And the term brought you unto myself simply means I sanctified you. I set you apart from other nations. You are my peculiar people. You are my Israel. Is to the Ra to the L. Is in the Hebrew, in the Greek language, it stands for a God that is a formless, no form, right? Just ever expanding. Can't even contain him. Ra in Hebrew stands for evil. L means God or almighty power. When the L and the is squeeze together, it crushes the Ra. So when you say Israel, you're saying there's a people coming that will crush evil. Sad thing is, most of the time, Israel was crushing itself because she was so disobedient and her heart was always departing from the truth and never wanted to pursue after what God had promised them. Okay? So you look at verse 4, I brought them to myself. Now, therefore, now Pastor Sarah is always safe from redeeming love. Whenever you find the word therefore, find out why it's therefore. Now, therefore, if in hearing you will obey, look, and hear my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Now, look at the term if. Anytime you have the word if, that means there are conditions required. So I am going to bring you into this promised land, but there's something I require of you. If, all right, if you shall hear my voice, right, and keep my, and guard or keep my covenant, then you shall be my peculiar treasure, possession unto me above all people, above all people, above all people, above all people. I'm going to set you aside above all people, right? And then God gives you the bomb diggity or give you the lit statement. Because the truth of the deal is I own the whole earth. I own everything in it. But I'm going to set aside a special people that I'm going to give them rest to. They're going to enter in and possess the land. And guess what? When they possess this land, when I possess this Canaan, this will be the training ground. So by this possession, by them living in the city, they'll go throughout the whole globe and tell the world that God is the answer to everything. That was supposed to be the goal of Canaan. All right. So the earth is mine. But you shall be unto me a kingdom or a sovereign dome of priests and a holy nation. So you're going to be a kingdom of priests and nations, not just a particular tribe, not just from the tribe of Levi or from the tribe of Aaron, the priest and the Levi. I want to make the whole 3 million of you kings and priests. All right. This is the Canaan promise. All right, Pastor Sharon, that's right. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children, the sons of Israel. All right. Now, if you look at the Old Testament scripture, he has pointed to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to the New Testament. And keep in mind, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So anytime Christ speaks in the Old Testament, it's a shadow of the fullness to come. It is the shadow of the fullness to come. Old Testament is almost like just a visitation until you get to Christ, come out the grave, and a visitation becomes a permanent home or a permanent dwelling. So when God was visiting the Ark of the Covenant or standing in a certain building, that was only a temporary visitation. When he moves out that place, he departs from that place, he moves into the hearts of men because Christ have come into the heart and made this spirit the home where God lives and dwell at. We become the mansion of the Lord. I go to prepare a place for you in my house, in my Father's house are many mansions. I come to make a place so God can come live and dwell in you. Okay. And verse 7 says, and Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and set before the face of these people, which the Lord commanded Yahweh, and all the people answered together and said, all these words, Yahweh, I got my first break, shall have spoken, and we will all shall do the work. When we go to this first break, I'm going to come back after this and show you that that same promise lays true today. God can complete and do a whole work, but you still got to enter into it by how you believe and how you hear it and how your life aligned to it. We'll come back after this break.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue. Featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now, back to the program, DDVRadio.com.
All right, we're back for, of course, our second half of our show. And of course, you're listening to www.mightbroadcastddv.com every Saturday at 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And also, you're watching Might Live. And what I'm teaching you, that there is a kingdom rest we're supposed to enter into. We're supposed to appropriate the promises. But there's the things that's required of us. We have to believe it. We have to accept it. Our lifestyle has to align to it. If God's giving us a promise, we have to come into it. And we can't depart from it with an evil heart, because there are tests and trials and tribulations. And what we like to have is a form of Christianity that's birthed from Western culture, where God is only good in the absence of trouble, the absence of trial, the absence of testing. But God allows you to be tested and tried so you can really see who you are. It's not that God got to test you to find out what you do. You need to see who you are, because you're hiding under someone else's testimony. You're hiding under someone else's. God is good. But when you have a personal encounter with Christ or God, you begin to understand the level of your relationship. And so I've already shared with you in Exodus chapter 19, God's purpose was to take a group of slaves, turn them into kingdom leaders, bring them into Canaan with resources flowing with milk and honey, give them cities they couldn't build, give them stuff they couldn't buy, and let them establish what I call family rulership over seven mountains. And then from there, that becomes a training ground to impact the global world through the hands of Israel. And God confirmed that promise after giving it to Moses in chapter 3. And while I was on break, I was sharing that with my Might Live show. And in Exodus chapter 3, as you know, Moses met God on the mountain of Sinai because a bush continued to burn, and the bush kept burning. And that sight kind of intrigued Moses. Moses went to look at the bush burning, and then when God saw him turn, watch this, when God saw him turn aside to see it, then God called his name. Notice how the scripture says, when Moses turned aside to see the sight that was burning, then God called his name. Notice how God requires you to do something first, and then he calls your name. A lot of times we want God to move first, and then we believe. That's not how God always works. Sometimes God looks to see the effort to move towards him, and then God calls your name. So as Moses went to turn to look towards the bush that was burning, not consumed, then said, Moses, take thy sandals off. You're standing on holy ground. And Moses, he said, I'm your God. And then God starts to talk out of this burning bush. Now you got to realize this bush just keep burning and burning and burning, never consumed. You know, God's a burning fire, but he's never consumed. And then God starts talking out the midst of the fiery bush, and the angel is inside of it. And so this is a strange sight. This is a scary sight. And Moses is afraid. Don't want to look, because according to Jewish culture, if you see the face of God, you're supposed to drop dead and die. And so Moses is standing there, and God's, let me tell you what you're here for. And you go to Exodus chapter 3, and it says in verse 7, it says, and the Lord Yahweh said, I have seen the afflictions and humiliation of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by the reason of the face of their slave owners. But I've come down to deliver them. I am come down or descend to deliver them, okay, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring, which is another word for ascend, them out of that land. Now stick with me. Unto a good land and a large, broad land. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. This is Canaan. This is a place called the rest. All right. Now, I know you think of rest, you think of something where you, there's no problems, there's no tests, there's no trial. You just lay down. All right. But that's not the type of rest that's in God's mind. All right. The rest in God's mind stands for completion. I'm going to complete something for you. This will not be by the works of your hands. What I need for you to do is to believe it, to keep trusting me until I bring it to pass. And I don't want you to quit, murmur, complain, fuss, try to stone people just because the journey is not unfolding the way that you like it. All right. But my job is to make a way for you to get to this good land. And that good land is Canaan. It's a place they call symbolically milk and honey. It has resources. It got stuff you can't earn, stuff maybe your degree can't get. I'm going to bring you into that place. And guess what? And on top of your place are Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites. It's like really about 5 or 7 types of devils sitting on top of your stuff. But I'm going to bring you out. Watch this. Train and prepare you in the wilderness so you can take over that what I've already given you. And you know the story. You know the whole story. The whole story is Moses was arguing with God. Number one, he didn't want to go back to face Pharaoh. Number two, he started talking about, I got a stammering problem. I can't speak that well. I don't feel like going. Just like us, we fight God, although we know it's God. God, listen, Moses knows this is God talking to him. But when it comes to God, when you start talking to God, he always wants something from you. God always wants obedience. He always wants to take you deeper. God don't like us just glazing at him for eternity. When we get to heaven, we're going to look at God forever. We're going to look at God for a million years. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. After a million years, what's going to do after that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church folk make me laugh, man. I ask for that. We go to heaven. What are we going to do? We're going to sing. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus. What, for a million years? I said, you're not going to die. I said, what you going to do after that? Say it for 2 million years. Okay, then after that, what? 3 million years? You mean there's nothing else to do? It must be something else to do. That's why the Bible says you've been faithful to a few things. Come on in. I'll make you ruler over many things. He talks about giving you cities. Talk about giving you global. Talk about giving you planets. I want to go into all this. But to the degree how you handle the call of God in this earthly life follow you into the next life. Okay? So the question is today. Here's the $99,000 question. What is exactly the Canaan rest? What is it? It is for God has already made you aware that is yours for the taking. But you got to go and possess it by how your heart believes it, how your ear hears it, and how your feet align to it, and how you can't get punked and quit and walk away just because there's a tribulation or a trial or there's something that's challenging you. You can't allow your mouth to make your heart hard. You can't allow what you used to have to say, I'd rather stay in what used to be and not press on to what could be. All right, you with me so far? And so when you know the story of Exodus, I'm trying to tell you, man, Moses comes out, he gets before Pharaoh, he tells Pharaoh, listen, Pharaoh, I just met with God. This is funny. I met with God, and Pharaoh's like, I'm God. What God you meet with? Said, well, I met with the real God. See, the God you think you are, you fake. I met with the real God. And the real God told me, I got to take my people and get out of here. And he started laughing, and he told Moses no. Now, of course, when Moses hear that, Moses goes back to God. I thought you told me they supposed to let the people go. And then God start talking again. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, oh, we're going to go through the same speech again. Because what happened is every time you do what God says, it don't always go the way that you feel it should go the first time you go. All right. But Moses, rest assured, as he stands before Pharaoh, these 10, because it was like 10 plagues that beat the land of Egypt down. He beat down Pharaoh. He beat down the staff. And God used like miracles. Like, you know, it's funny. If you look at Exodus chapter 3, right? And I don't have the time to walk through all the miracles. I don't have the time for that. But turning the Nile River to blood, which represents all the kids they aborted in the Nile River, throwing the kids in the water. They talk about the gnats and the grasshoppers and talk about the darkness, the light. They talk about the death of the firstborn son, the splitting of the red. These were miracles that confirm that God is on my side. So Moses is fully convinced, and the Israelites who are slaves are seeing God's handiwork move, and God is confirming it. And once Pharaoh said to them, I'll never let you go, and then Moses came back and gave him one last warning. He said, let me tell you something. And God told Moses this, and watch this. I'm going to show you something about people. You keep telling God no. You keep fighting God's people. And this is what God said. One last, he said, this is the last plague I'm going to do. And the last plague I'm going to do, Pharaoh is going to kick your butt out. And that's the Michael Duffy translation. He's going to throw you out. I'm going to sweep through the town. All right, President Crystal. I'm going to sweep through the town, Pastor Sharon. And I'm going to remove every firstborn son. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to remove every firstborn son. You got to understand, when a son is the oldest and born first, he is the matrix. And in their Eastern culture and their Egyptian culture, that's the power son. That's the strong one. That's the one's going to carry the legacy of the family on for generations, all right? So for a firstborn son to die, that's a dangerous thing. But God had given him like I think it's plague nine. This is probably plague nine. And said, I tried to warn him for the first eight. Every time Pharaoh said no, I took the ante up a little bit higher because I got a word from my people. They got to leave this place. They got to get to Canaan, which is a place of rest. I need them to enter into that rest, but I'm going to first prove to them that I'm God. So through your resistance, Pharaoh, I'm going to show off that I'm God. You think you God, but when I get finished with Moses, you're going to think Moses is God because Moses goes on my behalf and Pharaoh will be Moses and Aaron will be Moses' prophet. All right. Now watch this. So God releases the death angel to come into the town. All right. Now, Israel was given instructions. Just because you're given a promise or a rest, There's still instructions to be obeyed. He told them, you got to slay a lamb, all right, and to put the blood on the doorpost on both sides and the top. Now, the killing of that lamb amongst Israel represents the killing of their firstborn son. So when God sends the death angel in, he is supposed to go and kill every firstborn son that's alive. But what happened is when Israel killed that lamb, that represents symbolically that lamb dying for their firstborn son. So when the death angel comes in and sees the lamb dead, the death angel said, well, they already dead. God allowed that lamb to be the part that covers so the death angel can't come in. This is why when God gives you rest or promise you something, there's always what I call an active obedience that you must exemplify. So it's not like you sit around and pray all day and fast all day and scream all day and worship all day. Your feet got to do something. You have to be obedient to what God says. If he says you got to confess Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, to get all these promises, that's a promise. To enter into Christ, you have to receive him. You got to serve him. You got to enter into him. It's not automatic. Hello, Juan Garcia. God bless you. Josephine Wilson. It's not automatic. It's not inclusion. God just do it for you. Or you got to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and the Canaan, who is Christ, opens up to you. And we enter into Christ and we activate the kingdom. That's New Testament personification. But in the Old Testament, this is a sign and a symbol of that which is to come. So, of course, the death angel comes in, kills all the firstborn son of the Egyptians, and all the Israelites who obeyed what God told them, their firstborn son was spared. After that, Pharaoh throws out Israel and they leave with a high hand. But on the way out, this is just like people, he changed his mind and he sent forth his chariots to go get the slaves and bring them back. So the Jews, they running to get out of town, right? And of course, you know the whole story. I didn't want to go through all this. Because you can see this in the book of course, Exodus, where the Red Sea was in front of them and the armies of Pharaoh was behind them. And of course, Moses used the authority of the kingdom. He speaks and the Red Sea opens up and they go through. And then when the enemy comes behind, the water comes down, which is a symbol of baptism. Baptism means a cleaning and a washing. The baptism to come wash away the sins, all right? And so Moses and his people stand on one side as entering into a sign of baptism, a new life, while all the sins and devils are washed away. That's what it means spiritually, okay? Now, you would think that was it, right? But in Exodus chapter 19, he brings after 90 days, after they've been through a couple of tests and trials, he brings them through to the mountain and said, let me tell you what the deal is. I've been having a conversation with God, and there is some land that's coming I got to bring you guys into, but he's going to make you his special people, and you already know God is real. You saw these signs, one of the miracles, so I need your heart to continue to believe, because God has proven himself to you over and over. And here is the problem with the church of the day. God has always kept us. God has always watched over us. So when God began to bring us to a new level, a new dimension of life, there's a new test, a new trial, a new struggle. And instead of us trusting God and stick with the kingdom, we find every reason to quit, stop paying tithes, don't give offerings, spend our money and everything else except supporting ministry. God said, your heart have departed from me. Why did you stop trusting? Why don't you continue to believe in me? Because I wanted to bring you into this promise. Now, when you read the book of Exodus, I don't have time to go through all this. This whole book deals with a hard-headed Jewish people. And they rejected God like 10 times. And God got sick of them. And the cream of the crop was really the book of Numbers, when God had told them, he finally got them to the place, got them close enough, and there was like, I'm like to say, like an inch, and said, God said, if these folks stop believing me one more time, I'm gonna let a judgment hit them. And Numbers 13 is the killer. Go to Numbers 13, all right? And of course, I'm asking all of you continue to purchase my book, 177 Laws of Might, and go on my Cash App. We have to be so very careful, though. When Moses went back to God to get further instruction, we have to be patient, receiving the next level instructions. And sometimes it requires patience to receive it. Great word, prison. To receive it, sometimes I even be like, I just give me the answer, please, and spare me the extra speech. But there is power and patience, and stand in faith while you're waiting. That is a bombshell word. President Crystal, you're such a great teacher. And that is right. So prayer keeps you intact with God to receive the next level of instructions as God tried to bring you into what I call the Canaan land of promise. Okay, now watch this. It says in Numbers 13, Verse 1, and the Lord spake to Moses and said, now send the people into the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. And then send a man from each tribe, and a man is a ruler amongst many, and I am going to bring you into the Canaan land. That was the promise, right? Now, you know the story. When the 12 spies went into the land, this was the clincher. And this is the clincher, and I want you to hear me closely. I got 12 men leaders. That's supposed to go into the land of Canaan, a physical place, spy out the land, do your little research. And next time I hope to come back and cover verses 17 down to verse 23, 24. There are things that was in this land that we don't talk about as far as our diet, pomegranates, grapes, things like honey, milk. These are things that we supposed to have in our body all the time. There's almond milk. There's goat milk. Sometimes the milk we drink in our refrigerator is not the most healthiest form of milk. But there are things that's supposed to go in our body, supposed to make us strong, all right? And the giants lived in this land, the giants of Anak, the giants of the Amalekites. And they're supposed to go and just spy out the land and then come back to Moses. Okay, let's take the land. These daggone church folks went and start studying the giants. Oh, they too big. Oh, they too large. Oh, my God. I can't overcome this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This sound like church folk. Time we have a promise in the kingdom, we start talking about how big something is. I can't overcome because Donald Trump is the president. I can't overcome because what's name is not my choice for mayor. I can't overcome. I didn't support him as city council. Oh, that's not my freeholder. That's not this. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too little. And we make every excuse not to forge ahead, to fight and stand on kingdom promises. God already promised to make you successful. He already said that you can make it. He already said you can overcome. That's what he said. We don't believe it. Our hearts depart from the truth because we're so busy studying. Listen to me, Florio. We're so busy studying the tests, the trial, the tribulation, the turmoil. We become news reporters of the test and trial, but not history makers, because we overcome the test and trial as we operate in the kingdom. So really, I'm looking for people that will do the right thing in the midst of the test and the trial. And to enter into Canaan means to operate in the kingdom in the midst of the test, the trial, the tribulation, the temptation, and the turmoil. That's the key. Enter in. These church folks came back. I got Eric's time running out. These 12 spies came back, and I got to make it plain. Let's just say this happened. This is they came back and told Moses, hello, Pastor Jesus, hello, Flavio. And I think Flavio is running for city council. God bless you, man. God praying for you. And, of course, it brought back this cluster of grapes, right? You know, you need to focus on how big our God is, not our issues, tests and trials. Stand in the kingdom. Amen, President Crystal. Now, all these grapes, right? He said, yeah, the place is nice. We love the land. Ooh, it's nice. Ooh, like church folk do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Making all that noise, right? And then church folk funny. But we just noticed there's some big devils over there, though. There's like some giants from Anak, Amalekites. We can't do this. It's impossible. Can't be done. Now, the God that told them that they can do it is the one that told them the land is theirs. God says that Canaan is your rest, is your place of enter into. You may have to fight to believe, but go in. I'll wipe them out for you because I've already showed you that I'm God by the last 10 plagues. See, I already know how to take care of you. I turn bitter waters into sweet waters. I'm good at what I do. So I need you to continue to trust and believe me. You did trust me for a little bit. Let's continue to trust. Nope. They start telling Moses, we ain't going, we can't take the land. Let's elect a new pastor and let's go back to the land of Egypt. I'd rather be slaves until I die. And Caleb and Joshua was like part of the kingdom church that entered into rest. They kept saying, well, we can take it. God is our strength. We're not going to make our problems bigger than God. We can take, I don't care how big something is. We can knock it out. We can overcome it. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Right? Them church folks got together one accord and said, we're going to anoint a new captain and we're going back to Egypt. And if you read the scripture, God was sick of them. And God shows up in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the tent, and start talking to Moses like this. He said, look, I'm gonna kill all these folk. That's what he said. Read it, man. You got to read the story. He said, I'm gonna strike them with sickness, disease. I'm going to wipe him out. And then Moses, who's like this intercessor, who's like a real cool guy, real humble, he said, no, God, don't do that. Because the other nation were here. You brought them out and it destroyed them. I mean, that's not a good reputation. You're fame, man. Come on, God. And Moses stands on behalf of the 3 million people. Now, God said, now, because you interceded, I'm not going to do this. But God is a tremendous negotiator. He's a tremendous prosecutor, and God is smart. God said, I'm not going to kill them all at once. That's what he believed me. But these folk that's 20 years old and older, that saw my hand and are so wicked and brought back this evil report, they're going to wander around this mountain for 40 years, and they're not going into my rest. I'm going to raise their kids up 19 years and younger in the seed of Joshua, the seed of Caleb, and, of course, those close to Moses. You're going to go in into Canaan land. All right, this is deep, y'all. And Canaan is a place of possessing what I've already made clear for you. I told you, if you will go in, I will fight your battle and wipe out every devil. And you will take these properties, take these resources, and establish a generation after generation that can change the face of the earth. Now, here is the thing I want to say, because I know time is getting short. And I close my Bible. I have found out that in our form of Christianity, especially in the cities I grew up in, we have an escapism mentality. So we don't even look forward to changing our neighborhoods into communities. We don't even have an economic plan for generations. We don't have anything about investments. We don't talk about eating healthy. We don't talk about embracing the aging process. We don't even have a ministry to seniors. We think Christ is going to crack the sky and take us away so we don't have to die no more. You know how long folk been saying Christ is supposed to come back and crack the sky and take us away from here? That has been one of our greatest struggles amongst church folk. So we don't make any long-term plans. We have no long-term plans for 40 years. We're not teaching our folks on leadership skills. You're supposed to enter into the promises of God, take the kingdom, them and transform your neighborhoods so that living could be better for your generation. And we don't have that. The Canaan promise, the rest is this: Christ already made a way for you. And in Christ Jesus, the kingdom is wide open. And the invisible realm belongs to the body of Christ. But you got to believe it, you got to accept it, and you got to go into it. Hebrews chapter 3 says, let me tell you something, you Jews who are Christians, don't run back to your old Jewish type of worship, to dead works, because the test and trial is before you. The testing and trial and temptation is allowed by God, because God is going to whip the devils behind in front of you, and you're going to be strengthened by the character you're going to get from the test and the trial. So you don't score a touchdown without the defense team opposing you. There's no such thing as scoring a touchdown over and over with no one fighting you. So I like to know the real testimony, church folk, when you prayed all night and nothing happened. I want to know when the doctor said you got 6 months to live and God didn't heal you to the fifth month and the last day. I want to hear the real deal when you claimed it and said, God do this and God do that, and it still laid you off. I want to say the real test and trial is when you stick with the kingdom in the midst of the pain and the struggle and watch God perform. He will rescue. He will deliver. But you got to enter into it and stick with it. You can't quit on it. And I see so many saints who come up to the altar, President Crystal, and cry all night. Cry. And then get up and quit on God. They don't tithe. They don't support ministry. But they go right to that mall and buy their suits, their ties, they'll buy all the stuff, but will rob God of his tithes and offers, will not support ministry. And you talk about folks sick, they don't lay hands, they don't cast out devils, they don't operate in the kingdom. And this is why the rest has avoided them. Jesus said, and he repeats this in Hebrews chapter 3, there is a people that will not enter into my rest. So simply speaking, I don't care if you born Jewish by blood. If you don't come in by the blood of Jesus, you do not enter into my rest. And though I still give honor to the natural seed of Israel, I do give honor to them getting the city in the state of Canaan. That's what you want, fine. But that's not my goal. My goal is the whole earth. We got to train the church to enter into the kingdom through Christ and know it is a completed work, and any opposition you have can be overcome and you can eat it up alive. And people of strong faith know this. But here is the balancing point to my whole message. Sometimes I run into saints who are not strong as I am. They're very weak in their faith. They find every option to quit, and God still wants to reach them. See, even though I'm strong in my faith, I got the ability to look at opposition and overcome all type of things around me. I do know there are weaker saints. Some folks are poor in faith. And sometimes you got to be a little bit slow and wait on them and help them get a hand up. Give them some charity. Help them understand the struggles of life until their faith catches up to mine. And that's the balance of this whole thing, that just believe God. Just believe God. Yeah, just believe God. But some folks need a hand up. Some folks can reach down. And I met people who were weak 3 years ago and now they're stronger now. So this is where you talk about the compassion of the kingdom. But you're not going to be able, listen to me carefully, it's 253. You're not going to be able to say to me, I go to church. I love the Lord. And time you see a test or a trial, start complaining and fussing and start telling God I'm not going to possess it. And what happened was, this is funny, man. When Moses told them, due to your unbelieving spirit, none of y'all going in. The system is, I got 1 minute. The system is over. That system is done. And God has judged you. And he says, only those 19 years and younger, the seed of Joshua, the seed of course, Abraham, the seed of Joshua, and the seed of Caleb are the only ones going in. But you will not go in. So as I begin to close today, I need for you to listen to me. Go to my Cash App and let's support Pastor McDuffie. Let's see what's out there that we're supposed to possess the land. We're supposed to take it. God is good. Thank you for listening to, of course, our www.mikebrook@ddv.com. Go to the Cash App. See you tomorrow at church, 356 10th Avenue at 9 o'clock a.m. to 10:30. And also, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue, featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, body beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about body beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DGVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DGVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.